At this time, I will call to order the Siskiyou County Planning Commission regular meeting, May 19th, 2021. Would you all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner Lindler.
Here.
Commissioner Fell.
Present.
Commissioner Veal.
Here.
Commissioner Hart. It appears Commissioner Hart is absent today. Oh, Chair Mello, sorry.
Present. Approval of the minutes of April 21st, 2021.
Council move.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Let the record show that Commissioner Lindler was not present at that meeting. Any person may address the commission on any subject matter within the jurisdiction or responsibility of the commission at the beginning of the meeting, or may elect to address the commission on any agenda item at the time the item is called by the chair, but before the matter is acted upon by the commission. Unscheduled comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Conflict of interest. Seeing none. Right of appeal. Project Certificate Planning Commission may be subject to appeal within 10 calendar days of today's meeting. If the 10th day falls on the weekend, the appeal must be received the following business day. Please contact the county clerk for information. Appeals must be submitted to the county clerk's office together with the appeal fee of $1,250. If you challenge the environmental review or project proposal in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues raised at the public hearing or in written correspondence delivered to Siskiyou County Planning at or prior to the public hearing.
Through the
changes?
Chair.
Yes.
I just want to note for the record, Commissioner Hart is now present.
Thank you. Changes to the agenda items and consideration of agenda items to be continued. Seeing none, we will move on to new business. Item number one, moratorium on accepting new short-term vacation rental applications categorically exempt, Z-21-03. Staff report, please.
Thank you. Unfortunately, Planning Director Kirk Skierski is running late, and this was his project, but I will give a brief synopsis of this particular zone change project. There was a proposal to do an urgency ordinance to restrict new vacation rentals and there were three different options, I believe, that was originally presented to the board as an urgency ordinance. Urgency ordinances require a 4 out of 5 approval from the board, and unfortunately they only had 3 individuals who were willing to approve it at that time. We were, however, directed to bring it back to the board as a potentially non-urgency ordinance, which would allow it to be passed with a 3/5 vote instead. So at this point, the board has directed us to bring this back to them with a overall countywide moratorium on all new vacation rentals that are less than 2.5 acres. It would basically be emulating the current current restriction that the Mount Shasta Sphere of Influence has, which limits vacation rentals to 2.5 acres or greater. This moratorium is to go in effect in order to give staff time to analyze the housing situation in Siskiyou County. We have an upcoming housing update that we were hoping to get some studies done, and this would allow us time to get those studies done while also alleviating some of the complaints that we've had regarding vacation rentals on smaller parcels, specifically in the McLeod area. Any questions?
Did the county have to vote to bring this resolution into effect? Did they vote to put this, request this in?
Are you talking about to the voters themselves?
No, within the county Board of Supervisors.
Right, so what this is we're bringing it to you for a recommendation, similar to how we had.
I know, I'm just saying, did the county supervisors vote to put this resolution on the agenda?
They didn't vote specifically to put it on the agenda. They voted to have it come back to them as a non-urgency ordinance, but that process includes bringing it to you guys first.
Yeah, do you know how they vote, how they voted on that, to bring it back?
I don't recall. Maybe county council does.
No, the point is, there was two supervisors who voted not to have this.
Originally, yes.
And so there was one supervisor absent.
There were two supervisors who said no.
That's right, yeah.
All five were in house, right?
It's okay. I was just curious if they could have stopped it. Apparently, they wanted us to go forward, so.
At least three of the five do, yes.
Yeah. And the other question is...
Through the chair, Rick Dean here. Yeah, so as Rachel mentioned, there were two attempts brought before the Board of Supervisors for this moratorium. The first one was not successful with the 3-5 vote. The second time it was brought forward, it was a unanimous vote to continue with the moratorium and be given options. And the option they had chosen was to do a 2.5-acre minimum countywide. But to take it out of the urgency aspect, so it was a unanimous vote to move forward with the moratorium, but as it stands outside of the urgency ordinance, it needs to be come before the Planning Commission for recommendation.
Second question, it says all zoning districts, is that incorporated cities as well?
No, incorporated cities are not regulated by the county's decisions.
So it isn't all zoning districts?
This is just in the county's jurisdiction.
All counties?
Yes, the cities themselves would have to do their own ordinances, which many of them have done. Mm-hmm.
And then I have a quick question. I don't know if I missed it in the report, but what is the anticipated time frame of the moratorium?
I believe it's approximately a year and a half. That is the timeline for getting the housing element done. I believe it's December of 2022, approximately 18 months.
And then my second question is how does this affect people? Like, I know of currently real estate transactions that are going on as we speak with the intent to do vacation rentals. Is there any insight on how this is going to affect them with their transactions? I mean, they're going to be put in hold.
If they get their application, complete application in, prior to, assuming the board approves this moratorium, if they get it in prior to this ordinance going into effect, and we have that complete application at the planning level, then it would not affect them. If they did not complete their real estate transaction and were unable to get a complete application into planning staff prior to it, then they would be on hold until such a time that the moratorium ends.
And is there an estimated time frame of when you anticipate that taking effect?
When this zone change would take
effect? Are we talking like this would take effect in the next 60 days, the next 90 days, or is there...
So with zone changes, what we have to do is after you guys issue a recommendation either to approve or deny it, it would then be presented to the Board of Supervisors for two public hearings, and then there's a 30-day time lag after that before it officially goes into effect. It has to get posted in the newspaper, and there are a few other posting requirements after, assuming the board approves it, of course.
Okay.
I have a question on this housing element. What difference does it make if it's a vacation rental, a month-to-month rental, a annual rental or lease, owner-occupied, or it's vacant? Why picking on vacation rentals?
So it's not specifically, the housing element update is not specific to vacation rentals. It's going to analyze the housing stock and what the inventory is and what the individual uses of all of the housing stock are in our county. So the vacation rental aspect, or short-term rental technically, is just one small part of this this project.
Yeah, but they want to put a moratorium on that and not on any of the rest of them. How about building new homes?
So we don't have a moratorium on building new homes, and we have really, really low fees in order to encourage construction in our county. I would say we probably have some of the lowest in the state as far as fees. So that is what the county does. They basically subsidize the cost of the permitting in order to encourage development. But we do not have something specific beyond that to encourage building of new homes. Other counties have incentives, like actual financial incentives, tax breaks and such for construction, specifically for low-income housing, low to moderate income housing. We do not have that in this county. That is, I believe, something that will also be looked at with this housing element update. We do have updates that are annual that we look at, but then every about 5 years we have to do a full rerun of everything and restudy everything and come up with new goals.
Because I see this as another attempt to limit personal property rights. And just to pick on vacation rentals does not sit well with me. Thank you very much, ma'am.
You're welcome.
I could see where you would, if you showed the available rental properties for rent, and then you've got vacation rentals that takes that available housing for rent out of the mix. So, I mean, that could be the rationale.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Vacation rentals is a permitted use.
Right.
You want to go month to month, all you got to do is pull the permit.
Right.
I'm talking about the property owner. So, that's where I have the issue. Just because they got a permit to use it as a vacation rental, they can withdraw that permit at any time.
So with vacation rentals, the use permit runs with the land, and in order to stop using it as a vacation rental, you don't actually need to withdraw the permit. You would just let your business license lapse, and you would just rent it month to month, your choice. You could go month to month for a couple months out of the year, and then if you have, they move out, you can say, well, I want to try going back to the short-term rental. You can flip-flop as much as you want, as long as you meet the conditions of approval for that use permit.
Conditions of approval. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
So why do you have to relinquish the permit if you want to rent it out in a month or 6 months?
I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
I say if you want to rent it out for a month or for 2 months or a year, you don't have to surrender the use permit.
No, surrendering the use permit would require, or rescinding the use permit would require the same process that it was approved. So in order to rescind the actual use permit, they would have to come to you guys and request that it be rescinded. And then you guys would have to grant that or not.
There would be no logical use to rescind it?
No.
Because you're not prohibiting yourself.
Right.
By getting a special use permit for a vacation rental does not exclude you from renting it for a year or 2 years or whatever, or a month.
I understand that, but here's the deal. When you have a vacation rental, isn't there TOT attached to that?
If you are renting it as a short-term rental, one of the conditions of approval is that you pay the TOT,
okay.
And we have existing agreements with several booking agents that they automatically pay it when it's rented.
Okay, so going back to what you're saying. Okay, they can go month to month, but then they don't have to pay the TOT, right?
That's right.
No. Sorry, Charlie. That doesn't set well with me.
Assuming I have a cabin somewhere out in the, other than 2.5 acres, and a friend wants to rent it out for deer season, and I say, sure, go ahead. Am I in violation if I rent it to him without a vacation rental ordinance or permit?
So the county requires use permits for short-term rentals if it's for 30 days or less. So if the time frame that's being rented is day-to-day or week-to-week and not month-to-month, then you would be in violation. If it was a whole summer or a whole deer season, then as long as that's more than 30 days, then you would not be in violation. We don't regulate it if it's more than 30 days.
Probably need to get your fishing game guide on that too.
Yeah.
That's a $1,500.
I just don't know how you're going to manage that, but anyway.
So if we move forward with this, it is targeting under 2.5 acre vacation rentals. And so should our compliance officer continue to identify operations that are not permitted that are less than 2.5 acres, the only option available is to force shutdown and not be able to bring into compliance and generate TOT for the county. And if this passes, there will be, until it concludes or the housing element comes out, which we said is 18 months plus, I would venture probably closer to 2 years.
Sir.
Then vacation rentals are going to be going on parcels greater than 2.5 acres, which may not necessarily be a good thing. I'm sorry. This doesn't make sense to me.
Thank you so much.
We know we have non-compliant vacation rentals in existence. And the county, in my opinion, would be better to bring them into compliance, collect the TOT, and not force a shift of vacation rentals to large properties out of areas where vacation rentals probably should be. I'm sorry, it doesn't sit right with me.
And aren't we really confined to one area, and that's McLeod we're talking about?
Yes.
And probably Dunsmuir.
But this is going to apply countywide.
Right. I know Dunsmuir might be part of that.
Yeah.
It's McLeod. That's,
yeah.
And they could put that moratorium on just on McLeod.
This is an expansion of what we're doing with your notch.
Through the chair, if I may.
Yeah. Yes.
Just a conversation with Commissioner Bell's aspect, concern of vacation rentals being shifted to larger parcels. I just want to clarify that these are for the unincorporated area, and for the most part, we have a 2.5 acre minimum parcel size in the unincorporated areas anyway, as it is. So just throwing that out there, I don't really see a shift into larger parcels, because that's already essentially existing. Does that make sense?
Yes, but we're, rather than a moratorium specifically focused in this case, I'll just say it, on McLeod and Dunsmuir, we're taking and applying this countywide. And I struggle with the, we as a county are being asked to address two unincorporated areas that haven't made the effort to deal with their own problems.
Dunsmuir's incorporated.
But we've had vacation rental approvals before us down around in Dunsmuir.
So Dunsmuir is incorporated. We do have properties that were in the sphere of influence of the city of Dunsmuir,
right,
that came to us for vacation rentals. Since they are not in the city's jurisdiction, they're in the county's.
Right, we just had one that
just to kind of give you a little bit more background, when this came before the Board of Supervisors for them to decide what direction they wanted to give us, I believe the three options that they discussed were limiting the vacation rentals in the McLeod area based off of the Community Service District, limiting in the entire county regardless of parcel size, and limiting in the entire county based on parcel size of less than 2.5 acres. And they ultimately ended up selecting the limiting or moratorium on vacation rentals that were less than 2.5 acres throughout the entire county. The city of Dunsmuir, I've talked with the city contract planner, and they are actually, their housing stock has an approximately 40% vacancy rate. So they are encouraging vacation rentals, and they're doing, I believe what their plan is based off of Truckee's. And it's based, it's just a walk-in, get your permit at the door at the planning department or at the city hall, and it's an annual permit. They're actually encouraging vacation rentals from what they've discussed. So I don't think that Dunsmuir, at least in the city's jurisdiction, is that much of an issue. We did have that one recently where we had some next door neighbors who didn't like it, but in general, the community is encouraging it just because it brings more income to that area.
I have another question. And that gets to my, another question I had is, you know, a lot of people that rent vacation rentals, usually they're at a higher rate than the hotel. So they're bringing in more financial resources to our county, which, you know, with COVID shutting down a lot of our tourism industry for the last year, I just see limiting these more urban homes to VRBO or Airbnb or whatever you have, is going to impact those businesses as well, because people that do vacation rentals usually eat out, they go to the grocery stores, have more disposable income at some level. So I would have concerns there, and I don't know if that's been looked at by you guys with this moratorium. And then my second question is, why can't we work on the housing element concurrent without a moratorium? And then when we get the new vacation rental criteria, then establish it, say, you know, January 1st, 2023. I guess one of the concerns I have in talking to a few real estate agents' friends, that hence why I know there's active projects going on looking into VRBO, is they're not aware of it. And I think this is going to be a possibly an abrupt change to hindering our business community even further after COVID. So that's just my concerns.
It sounds to me like this is just an accommodation for the Board of Supervisors to come to us first, because they've already made up their mind that they want to impose this moratorium.
I couldn't speak to what
But they denied it the first time, right?
They denied it because the vote required four.
Four, yeah.
And
so it didn't pass.
Three.
Didn't pass.
Yeah.
Okay.
But next time it'll only take three. Which it seems they have.
So this is only going to affect new vacation rentals that are less than 2.5 acres. Probably in the past year, I'd say we probably have about a dozen, maybe, you know, on average one a month, I would say. So, you know, probably 18 if we continue at the rate, and assuming that not all of those are going to be less than 2.5 acres. Maybe half of those, so about nine maybe, okay, would be excluded. So as far as the financial impact to our county, you're basically looking at maybe less than nine than we would have otherwise had. Let's see, what was your name?
Can I ask just one more question to follow up with that?
Sure.
So back to Jeff's point about the folks, because we know there's numerous vacation rentals currently that are operating without a permit. Are they going to continue to be able to operate without bringing them into compliance for the next 2 years? Or what's our enforcement going to be on them? Because that's not an equitable...
Right.
That's
right. So one of the reasons why you guys have seen so many vacation rental permits coming to you is because of our enforcement actions. We've been pretty active on paying attention to what rentals are being posted and making sure that they have a permit. And especially in neighborhoods where it happens a lot, people in that neighborhood are a lot more aware, and if they notice one popping up, they will contact us. So that's one of the reasons why you guys have had so many lately. When I first started, we didn't have that many, and now we have them regularly, and it's because of code enforcement action. We're really trying to crack down on that. If they do have a listing posted that is not permitted, what we do is we have them take down the listing. We don't require that they cancel their existing bookings, but we do require that they take their listings down. That's the current operating policy on that.
One of the things that bothers me too, if you recall about a year, year and a half ago, we had a person come before us to request a vacation rental, and the sphere of influence of Mount Shasta were the 2.5 acre minimum.
Yep.
However, the subdivision his home was in has 0.4, 0.6 acre parcels. They're stacked in there like cordwood. So how does that 2.5 acre minimum apply in there when the properties within the subdivision are less than 2.5 acres?
So I believe you're referring to when we had two vacation rentals that came to you in one particular month that were both in the sphere of influence of the city of Mount Shasta and were both less than 2.5 acres. If you recall, we actually paused those and we continued them to a date uncertain so that we could get direction from the board regarding their recommendation. I think they had a policy, but it wasn't a formal resolution to restrict the vacation rentals in that sphere of influence. And because of those two particular vacation rentals, we went back to the board and it was formalized and it was codified. So that is now codified because of those two projects, and those two projects were denied because of that zone change that we
had. They weren't against our recommendation.
So, also in that particular case, I believe you're talking about the one that was close to the lake that had a homeowners association that was adamantly against it.
Mm-hmm.
That one likely would.
I don't recall the HOA because I know the individual that brought it forth.
The police officer.
And they had an issue, and this is just hearsay, so I'm not going to push it. But they had an issue prior to this gentleman applying for the vacation rental. Because his parents lived there and they both passed and he ended up with the house. But anyway.
So we've got a motion. We could just deny the motion or we could.
I remember my second part of my question.
Okay.
Tim, was why the moratorium, why can't we work on it simultaneously with readjusting the housing element? That was the second part.
That is a problem. However, I think that one of the reasons why it's being brought forth as a moratorium is just because of the complaints and concerns that we've had regarding vacation rentals that are on smaller pieces of property in our county. And specifically, one of the areas that we've had a lot of concerns from is the McLeod area. That community is fairly divided as to whether or not they like the vacation rentals because they bring in income, or they don't like them because they don't like people who they don't know in their neighborhood. It just depends on who they are, and there are good arguments for both sides. So this is just to give us a little time to analyze our housing situation and see if the concerns that some of those residents have are valid or not. And it's to not add to the problem, should it turn out to actually be a problem.
Okay, we still have to go open the public hearing. We have comments.
Oh, yeah.
So we need to do that. So any other comments at this time?
No, thank you.
Okay, I will open the public hearing. Is there anybody?
We only have Community Development Director Rick Dean on the line, so I do not see any members of the public. Rick, would you like to comment as a member of the public on this item?
No, not as a member of the public. Thank you.
Okay, then at this time, I will close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir.
So this is being complaint-driven to the supervisors to do something, particularly in the McLeod area.
And I have a comment when you're done on that.
Well, I'm just trying to get the chain of how all this occurred, because if the complaint is coming from one specific geological area, geographical area, I'm kind of like Tony, why are we punishing the rest of the county? I'm trying to understand what steps caused all this ball to start rolling.
Okay. So it is based off of concerns that neighbors have, and although it is primarily the McLeod area, we have had concerns from people in other areas. We did have the people in Dunsmuir that were concerned, and then in the Mount Shasta area, we have had concerns, even though right now we are restricting it to 2.5 acres or more. Regarding Commissioner Lindler, you had mentioned, I've forgotten to add this, where you were concerned that there was a lack of knowledge regarding this proposed moratorium. We actually had one of the supervisors, Supervisor Chris, has gone to meetings in the McLeod area. Chamber of Commerce, I think, is the one specifically that somebody had mentioned that he had been to and had spoken of bringing forth this moratorium. And we had people calling both for and against who were in attendance at that meeting. So it's not something that's unheard of in the McLeod area specifically. It is something that real estate agents have contacted us.
Good.
In general, I think the awareness is pretty good.
Okay, thank you.
So you're getting people who are in favor of it and people who are opposed to it.
Correct.
It's a mixed bag.
Okay, we had a lady come before a public hearing before the COVID thing, I do believe, who said that if a business came from McLeod, there were no rentals available in McLeod for the employees. I don't understand that theory. This is a permitted use. If the property owner decides to go month to month, pull the permit, do month to month.
We don't even have to pull the permit.
But I don't understand, if you don't pull the permit, you don't have to pay the TOT. So the county's losing money if they're going month to month, even though it's permitted as a vacation rental. Not a good picture. Sorry.
Well, like it or not. We either pass the motion or deny the motion.
That's right.
That's what we're facing.
What would be the pleasure of the commission? Mr. Fowle, I see you thinking there, buddy. Have at her.
So, essentially, and this question is on process. Technically, this is a quote-unquote project. And we are having a public hearing on this project, which happens to be a moratorium. There are no findings in this staff report to support reason for approving. I just heard from Rachel, we may have 9 that this would apply to. One, why aren't there findings in here to support the motion? And two, personally, I have utmost confidence in this commission to address 9 potential vacation rentals that may come before us to find and determine if they are compatible or not for the location for which the permit's being sought. I'm really struggling why we need this moratorium.
Exactly. Here's the thing, too. I want to just add something. In the city of Mount Shasta, within spitting distance of my home, there's 2 vacation rentals. This piece of paper is very close to the lot size. And then they want a 2, in the sphere of influence, they want a 2.5 acre minimum in a subdivision that doesn't have 2.5 acre minimums. That's one of my frustrations also. Let's talk about complaints. How many legitimate complaints have you or the county received about improprieties at a vacation rental as compared to improprieties at a month-to-month?
I don't have those numbers for you.
Thank you. I'm not trying to put you in a position. I'm going to share something with me. There's a right direct, I look out of my kitchen window into the kitchen window across the street. It's a disaster. In the past, it's been a rental for about 10 years. We've had people over there, they didn't pay the rent, they couldn't evict them, the yard was a junkyard, blah, blah, blah. But guess what? We called the property owner, said, you know, this is what's going on. She couldn't care less. And then when they did quit paying the rent, you and I talked about this before, sir, if you recall, it took them 5 months to get them out of the house.
And that's clear.
No, there are two over in Scott Valley. It's been 3 years and the people are still in there.
So this is the thing. At least you have an avenue with a vacation rental of file it because it is a non-conforming use, if you will, for that property. And if you get a complaint and it is found verified, they can pull that permit. Correct?
It would have to come to
Yeah, I mean, it has to go through a process. But theoretically, they can pull that permit.
Yes, and they could be
And on a month-to-month. Drop by. Anyway, thank you. So what would be the pleasure of the commission?
Well, I'd like council to try to settle my concern that we have no findings to support a motion on a moratorium that may deal with 9 potential vacation rentals over the course of the next 2 years.
Sure. There's no formal list of findings that need to be made when enacting an ordinary ordinance. An urgency ordinance, which you don't ever normally see, does carry findings, and usually the findings are put actually, sometimes they can be in the whereas is the basis for it, sometimes they're individually listed out. The findings here, first of all, it's a direction from the board down here to consider this proposed ordinance. And it's being considered, I think, in part because, one, we're doing the housing element, and there's a consideration that it would be better not to grant any new vacation rentals while the housing element is being studied. That appears to be the primary reason for this ordinance. In the sense that I don't have a legal list of findings that are required to be made. I can't say that it's required, that they have to be in there. I don't know of any statute that requires it. The whereases are kind of going to cover the rationale. They could be added to it, or we could come back with proposed findings with a redrafted resolution. I also may add that the ordinance itself is not being considered by this commission. It's going to be the Board of Supervisors that's going to be considering it. Your findings aren't going to be binding on the board at all. So it's fuzzy in the sense that from a lawyer's perspective, there's no required findings. It's fuzzy in the sense that you're merely making a recommendation, but you're not a decision maker on the ordinance. The whereases and the resolution cover the rationale, but you're certainly free if the motion is going to be to approve the resolution, that staff come back with an amended resolution with findings that you suggest be put in there. If you're going to deny the resolution, either we could come back again with some formal findings next month in a resolution, or sort of like with the Sarar permit last month, just relate them to the board, and which I've suggested to staff. You know, I as a general point of principle, it would be in the minutes. So if you want to make findings specifically in association with the resolution, if you want to direct staff with suggested findings, I'd say we come back next month. Otherwise, and I don't know which direction the commission's going to go in to begin with. But I guess those are my thoughts on it.
I think staff would be better off to take the time they would spend drafting this and findings and focusing on the housing element and put this in the trash can. But that's my opinion.
I have a question.
So would the county, could they go ahead and approve this moratorium without our recommendation?
Sure.
Yep. I mean, just so we fail to act. We fail to act today.
You mean if you can't get a consensus either way?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, we reported to the Board of Supervisors, the Planning Commission was unable to gain a consensus either way, and they would precede all that's required as considered.
But we still have to take this to the vote, yes or no?
To them?
Either up or down.
That's it.
I have a question on how, so with the moratorium, the understanding is we did the moratorium, the new ordinance would affect those new permits post-moratorium.
Correct.
Does the new ordinance affect the existing users or use permit holders?
No.
So it's not retroactive, no. So they're kind of grandfathered into the terms of their agreement?
Yes.
So everybody else would then come forward with whatever potential new ordinances?
Correct. This proposal is only to put a pause on the accepting of new applications that are less than 2.5 acres.
Yep.
So rather than put staff to more work, why don't we just either approve or disapprove this motion?
Make a motion.
I see that Commissioner Hart has his hand
raised. Yes, sir. So sorry, Mr. Hart.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
It's a very passionate subject.
Yes, it is.
This is a temporary ordinance?
Correct. It's a moratorium, so it has a time limit.
Let me correct you. This is not a temporary ordinance. This is a regular ordinance, and it will be in effect till it's repealed. It's not like an urgency ordinance that have built-in time limits.
Okay.
Which is 45 days.
What I wanted to know, because you can come when we get the housing element updated and finally approved, and it comes back with something other than this, we still have this on the books.
Until it's repealed.
Until it's repealed.
Yes, so it will have to be actively repealed.
What's the process of repealing it? It has to come to the planning commission and then go back to the board.
This and see where it goes. Okay. I'll float the motion and see where it goes. I move we adopt resolution PC 2021-013, a resolution of the planning commission of the county of Siskiyou, state of California, recommending the board of supervisors adopt a short-term vacation rental moratorium and determine the project to be categorically exempt from CEQA pursuant to CEQA guidelines sections 15061B3 and 15308. There's no second, it's no motion.
That's it. So the motion is denied, is that a fact?
Motion fails for lack of a second.
Thank you.
So I want to make a comment in retrospect. As a planning commission, we are a quasi-judicial entity. And my failing to make a second to see this motion go forward is due in large part that if this had been passed, our ability to bring non-complying uses into compliance would be stopped, and I do not have faith that our rejection or our direction towards an existing vacation rental that is operating without a use permit would legitimately cease to operate and would continue to operate in violation of existing county ordinance.
So, any other comments at this time? We will move on. Items for discussion direction. The next regular planning commission meeting is scheduled on Wednesday, June 16, 2021 at 9 a.m. Correspondence. Staff comments. Commission comments.
Staff has no comments.
Oh.
Sorry, say that again, Rick?
I said staff has no comments unless you reach it.
Nope.
Commission comments. Seeing none, this meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you.
Oh, we almost made half hour.
Thank you, Ray.